thank our brother for the kind words of welcome along to the meeting today, and we thank him for the invitation and for the session, and for each one who has enabled us to come here and to preach the word of God. We're glad to be here and to share fellowship with you in your harvest thanksgiving. It's nice to see the harvest, and it's a lovely time of year, and to see the church well decorated, and we're glad to be able to take part today. My daughter was telling me last night about a harvest that she is a student in Liverpool and goes along to the Liverpool church, and the Junior Orange had the church for a harvest Thanksgiving service, but the Junior Orange, they decorated the church on their own. They were told that they would be responsible for the decorating of the church. So my daughter came in, I think, at the meeting or another meeting afterwards, and there were all these tins of peas and tins of corn and different things. So she thought that was a real urban harvest. You went down to Tesco's and Sainsbury's and Asda's and you had the harvest down there. But it's lovely to see the church decorated and all the fruit and the different things that are here. Now we're turning to Psalm 72 and to the portion of scripture that was read there. I'm going to take a text today. It's verse 6 of that portion. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. And maybe with our Bibles open before us, we'll just unite together at the throne of grace in prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father, we thank thee for the opportunity of coming to thee afresh today. We bless thee for this meeting. We thank thee for thy presence with us already. And we'd ask thee that thou wouldst put thy hand upon the preaching of thy word afresh. Enable us to make known the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make known our blessed Redeemer, the Lord Jesus. We thank thee for the one who gives us all things richly to enjoy. And our Father, we'd pray tonight, or this morning, that thou wouldst bless thy word. And Lord, that those that know not thee might find a blessed Redeemer. And those that know thee might be thrilled and blessed in their own souls. So bless and be with us today, for it's in Jesus' precious name that we'd ask these things. Amen. Amen. The commentators tell us, and the title of the psalm, as Mr. Douglas has pointed out, show us that this is a prayer of David for his son Solomon. Solomon, very soon, we believe, was about to take over the throne, and we can sense the anticipation that there is here as the people look forward to a new reign. And they are thinking that this will be a new reign of splendor and a new reign of glory. Verse 4 says that he shall judge the poor of the people, he shall save the children of the needy, and shall break in pieces the oppressor. Verse 7 again says, in his days shall the righteous flourish. And these were words of hope and words of anticipation for the new king. Of course, Solomon could only imperfectly fulfill those things. We realize that the psalmist speaks of a reign of righteousness and a reign of peace. And unfortunately, as we read the record, we know that Solomon's reign descended into unrighteousness and war. They were never fulfilled and never can be fulfilled in any man. But thank God today that a greater than Solomon is here. And there's one whose reign will fulfill these words. And thank God it will be a perfect reign of righteousness, and there will be an abundance of peace. And we can say, like the psalmist in our text, that he shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. And thank God for that day that we look forward to, when our Savior will come and will bless with those blessings that are innumerable. But even now, thank God, we can look forward with some anticipation to the foreshadowing of that time that the text of Scripture speaks of, which is it's a lovely picture to us here of the revival blessings of God. And we want God to come with the showers upon his people today. You know, in the Bible, man is often compared to the grass. We think of his days are compared as grass in Psalm 103 and verse 15. It says, as for man, his days are as grass, as the flower of the field, so he flourisheth. Or in 1 Peter chapter 1 and 24, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. Or we think of what the prophet said in Isaiah 40 and verse 6. In that verse, Isaiah is commanded to cry, and he says, what shall I cry? And the answer comes back, all flesh is grass, and all the goodness thereof as the flower of the field. And so man in the Bible is often likened to grass. We think of the church and its picture as the garden. We think of the bride of Christ in Song of Solomon 4 and 12. And it says, a garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed. And there's no doubt, men and women, that the grass in the garden of the church could do with a good downpour of the showers of the blessing of God today. We have become in many ways like the grass in the middle of a long, dry summer. We have become withered and wilted and weary. But when the shower comes, there comes that vitality and there comes that vigor. And we need that vigor and we need that vitality in our hearts today. We have become sometimes wilted looking, and the vitality that we should show perhaps has gone a little bit for us. People are no longer enthused and enthralled by the gospel the way that once they were. The dryness and the deadness perhaps has come in a little into our hearts. Men, women, shouldn't we pray today that God would come down like the rain upon the mown grass, that God would send us the deluge of blessing from on high, that we might see God work, and that God would come down upon your soul and upon your heart today. I want us to think about the mown grass today. This is a harvest service, and most of the harvest in this country is in the terms of mown grass. And it's a great picture of the blessings that can come down from God upon the mown grass. So for a few moments at the end of our meeting today, we want to focus here upon what it says and what we can learn about the mown grass. And the first thing I want you to see about the mown grass is that it is shortened grass. It is cut grass. It is broken grass. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass. And I want you to notice that there, that it is upon the mown grass that God says that he will come down. Well, why upon mown grass? What is grass mowed for? Well, for one thing, grass is mowed in order that we might have a crop. In this country, the grass is cut more or less by the farmer for the reason of bringing it in as a crop so that he can feed the cattle and feed the animals in the winter time when there is no pasture. So mown grass is grass that is made use of. Now, grass, normally speaking, isn't much good. You know, grass can get into places where we don't want it to be. And you look at derelict buildings or derelict sites, or housing sites or whatever it may be, and there's one thing that is sure, that the grass will get in there and very often will grow in places where you don't want it to be. So grass can be very useless or it can be very useful, depending on the circumstances to which it is put to use. And the mown grass here is the useful grass. Now God says that he will come down upon the mown grass. Grass that is useful. Grass that is useful to him. That is the blessing that he will give. He will bless the life that is useful to him. God often comes. You often heard the saying, if you want somebody to do something, ask a busy person. Sometimes in the church, we find that it's only a few people or a certain percentage of the people that are useful. They work for God and do something for God. Now God is going to bless those people. And God will bless those that are serving Him and are useful to Him. Now what I want to ask you today in this meeting is, are you useful? Is your life useful? Are you useful for God? Is God using you? What is your life amounting to? What is your ambition? What are the motivations that control you? You know, there are many ambitions that you could have, and in some ways they may be good ambitions. But what will your life amount to when it comes to eternity? Will there be something there when the fires of God descend, as it were, and we think of how it speaks of the works that are there? Will the fires of God descend? Will there be anything left? Is your life useful for God? And I challenge you with that tonight, because God has promised to bless those that are useful. So mown grass is grass that is brought in that a crop may be gained. But then mown grass is something else. You mow grass in order to cut it into shape. And you know, you go out with the lawnmower, or the farmer will go out with the cutting instrument on the back of the tractor, and he will use it to cut the grass into shape. When you mow the grass, you don't want the clumps to grow in the midst of the grass, or you don't want the grass to go into places where you don't want it to be, so you cut the grass in order to keep it in shape and in order to make sure that it is kept in a place where you want it to be. And so grass that is cut is grass that is kept from being wayward. Now God has a shape for us. You know, in Romans chapter 8 and verse 29, it says, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son." God is an image for us. God is a shape for us. And that shape and that example is the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I wonder if you're conforming to that image. Sometimes God has to come to His people, and God even has to come to the unsaved, and He has to bring circumstances into their life, and the cutting shears are used to cut you down and cut you into shape and to begin to get you to think about what you're doing and where you're going. God doesn't want us to be wayward. God doesn't want us to go the way that we desire to go. And there are many people in this world, and that is the philosophy that they live by today. I will do my own thing. I will go my own way. I will do what I want to do. But God has to cut us into shape sometimes to get us to realize that there are things that we shouldn't do. You know, I came across a girl, and she was influenced by another professing Christian. And this professing Christian wanted to do whatever she wanted. She wanted to go to the nightclubs. She wanted to have men stay in her house and things like that. And when she was challenged about what she was doing, she says, "Oh, that's legalism." Well, let me tell you, it's not legalism. There is a shape. There is God's precious word. There are commandments that are laid down there, and to go against those things is sin. Romans 6 verse 2 says, "How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" And child of God, God will cut you into shape. Maybe there are circumstances in your life, and God has begun to get you to think about where you're going and what you're doing. Maybe there's an unsaved person and you've begun to think about what you're doing and where you're going. God, perhaps, is sending the cutting shears to show you the waywardness. So grass is cut for the crop to be brought in, and grass is cut to cut it into shape. But then there's another reason why the grass is cut, and that is to control the weeds. You know, sometimes the farmer will go out with the cutting blades and he will cut down the rushes and he will cut down the weeds that are there in order to weaken them, to get rid of them. Sometimes when you mow frequently in the lawn, we're told that it weakens the roots of the weeds. Now, Mind you, you don't seem to get rid of dandelions and daisies and things like that. But nevertheless, if you cut it frequently, it serves to weaken the roots of the weeds that don't grow up as well if you cut it. Now we think of the weeds of sin that get into our lives. And God will only bless those where sin is dealt with. Where sin is dealt with. God has to humble. God has to bring us low. And maybe there's an unsaved person in this meeting, and God must bring you low. You must be brought low. You must come to the place where you humble yourself and repent of your sin and own yourself as a guilty, hell-deserving sinner before you can be any use as far as eternity is concerned, before you can have eternal life in your soul and in your heart. But also it is true of the child of God. God must keep us low. You know, in the Psalm 51 verse 17, it said of the psalmist, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." And you think of many of God's servants, his choicest servants, and God kept them low. Paul, the apostle, a man of learning, a man who had many privileges in his life. But we're told in 2 Corinthians 12 that God sent him what he describes as a thorn in the flesh, some illness or something that was there. And he says, he began to realize, he asked God to take it from him, but God would not. And then he realized why God would not take away the thorn in the flesh. And he says this, "And lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations there was given me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." God wanted to keep him low. God wanted to humble him. God wanted to deal with any pride that was in his life. God wanted to deal with anything that would take the center stage in his life. God had to keep him low. The same is true of Moses. It's often said that he spent 40 years in Pharaoh's palace learning to be something, and then he spent 40 years in the backside of the desert learning to be nothing. And God had to bring him low before he could use him. The great missionary Hudson Taylor one time was in a church. He was invited to a church, a big Presbyterian church in Melbourne in Australia. And he was being introduced to the congregation, and the man who was introducing him was making a great thing about how wonderful a man he was and the great work he had done. And then he referred to him as our illustrious guest. And now we're going to ask our illustrious guest to come and speak. Well, Hudson Taylor got up and he stood for a moment. And he said, "You know, dear friends, I am the little servant of an illustrious master." That's the person that God uses. The person who realizes he is nothing. But God is above all. God is everything. And God blesses those who are useful, who are broken, who are cut, who have the weeds of sin, as it were, dealt with in their lives. They've brought them to the cross work of Calvary. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the place where we go to and we find blessing in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the mown grass then is shortened grass. But secondly, I want you to see that the mown grass is showered grass. "He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass and showers that water the earth." Now, we need to realize, and I think we can see, that the showers speak of the blessing of God. In Malachi chapter 3, we think of how revival blessing, he says, if we bring the tithes into a storehouse, he says, "If I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there may not be room enough to receive it." And we need the showers, don't we? We need the pure, life-giving agent of the water of God. You can't live without water. If you lack water, it will be something that will pervade you'll look for water. I read of a man who was out in the desert for quite a time, and he was without water and he was without food. And it was only when he got water that he realized how hungry he was, because the desire for water overrode every other desire that he had. Child of God, is that how you look for the blessing of God? Is that how you look for the blessing of God? Is overriding every other desire that you have. You see, the thing about shortened grass and the thing about mowing grass is it has need for the water more than any other grass. Because if grass grows up, if there's a lack of showers, it can take moisture from the air in through its leaves. So when you cut down the grass and the leaves are taken away and the surface area of the leaf is cut, then it doesn't have the ability to take in the grass. That's why sometimes you have to put sprinklers on your lawn. Although we don't need to do it too much in this country, especially this year. But you don't usually have a farmer in this country putting sprinklers on his field, because the grass is growing, the leaf area is good, and it's able to take in the moisture. But mowing grass feels its need of the moisture and of the rain all the more. And the person that is humble before God, the person that is low, the godly man, the godly woman, is a person who will feel their need of the showers of God's blessing poured out upon them. As the, like the psalmist who said, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee. Is there a thirst in your heart for God? A thirst in your heart that God will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that there may not be room enough to receive it. We see the special need then of the showers upon the mown grass. But also notice the source of the showers upon the mown grass. It says, he shall come down. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. Where will this blessing come from? From God. Only God can give you the blessing that you need. Only God can help you today. Only God can bless you the way that you need to be blessed. Oh, you might look for help in other places. You might go to other places to find what you need. But it's only the Lord that can really help you. And we need God to come down. Our Heavenly Father knows when the blessing should come. He knows exactly when the time is right. He knows when the most benefit will be gained. And we depend upon our Heavenly Father to send us the blessings that we need. It's only the Lord that can meet us at the point of our need. Not only do you see the source of the blessing, but look at the sort of it. It speaks here of the showers, and also it speaks of the rain. There's a difference between a shower and a rain. You can have all sorts of different types of rain, can't you? You can have the soft April shower. Or then you can have the hard beating downpour. Sometimes the blessings of God come like the soft, warm April showers. And I think those are the kind of blessings that we think of when we pray for blessings. But you also need to realize that sometimes the blessings of God can come like the hard beating rain. You know, in the early church, we have a great illustration of the hard beating rain. We read of the persecution that came to the church. And the people were driven out because of the persecution of the Jews and the persecution of the Roman authorities. And they couldn't live where they were. And they were refugees. And they had to leave their homes and to leave behind where they were. And they had to go out. And the Bible says that they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word, and the gospel was spread, and the word of God went forth, and God had given them a blessing. But it was the blessing of the hard beating rain. You know, we live in a day when the gospel is hardly Well, the gospel has never been popular. But there are more and more restrictions coming on God's people. In the latter days, things will wax worse and worse. And we shouldn't expect just the blessings through the April showers. But sometimes the blessings might have to come through the hard, beating rain. We see that this grass then is showered grass. But something else I want you to notice about this mown grass, it is shining grass. What happens when the rain comes down upon the grass? It becomes beautiful. It begins to shine. We think of that verse in 2 Samuel 23 and 4 where it speaks of the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after rain. And there's something beautiful about a mown meadow. There's something beautiful about the smell that you have from the newly mown grass. We think of our own land and the lushness and the greenness of it. Many people remark upon the greenery of the land, and we think of the new mown meadows. You think of the lawn, the beautiful well-kept lawn that sets off the beauty of the flowers. And there's a beauty about those whom God has blessed. The showers will make us shine. You think of Moses. And Moses was up on the mountain with God. And he was in the presence of God. And he came down from the mountain. We're told that his face shone. It was a reflection of the glory of God. Ezekiel says in Ezekiel 16 and 14, "And thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty, for it was perfect through my comeliness, which I had put upon thee, saith the Lord God." It wasn't their own beauty. It was the beauty of the shower. It was the beauty of the shower. He shall come down. And what makes the grass in the shower beautiful? It's the rain. It's the rain that makes it shine. And a child of God who is in the presence of God, his face shines. His face shines. Her face shines. You know the person that walks with God. You know the person that has an experience with the Lord. Their face shines. Well, there's an attractiveness about those people who do know their God. In Psalm 149 and verse 4, it says, "The Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation." Have you that beauty today? Have you the beauty of God's salvation? The meek are those that bow low. The meek are those that are humbled. The meek are those that will take their rightful place before God in the dust. And if you will come today and take that place in the dust before God, he will beautify you with his salvation. And the closer that you walk with him, the more his beauty will shine through your heart and in your life. So this is shining grass. Something else. The mown grass is strong grass. Because when you cut the grass, it strengthens us like any plant. You prune the plant and it sends out more shoots and it becomes strong. And of course, when you cut the grass, it's not long before the shoots come, especially if there's rain. When the rain comes upon the mown grass, the shoots begin to sprout and the greenness comes and the lushness comes and there's a strength as the grass comes. And of course, there's a strength about those whom God blesses. We think of Isaiah 40 and 31. "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." There's a strength. In Isaiah 28, verses 5 and 6, you are actually the two aspects of the beauty and the strength. Where it says, "In that day shall the Lord of hosts be for a crown of glory and for a diadem of beauty unto the residue of the people, and for a spirit of judgment to him that sitteth in judgment, and for strength to them that turn the battle in the gate. So there is beauty, there's the shining, and there is the strength that God's people have when they walk with him. You know, God often, in the midst of awful circumstances, makes his people strong. This, just last month, was the 200th anniversary of the first Protestant mission in China. Robert Morrison went out to China from Scotland. He was a Scottish Presbyterian, went out to China as a pioneer missionary out in the land of China. He laboured for a number of years translating the scriptures. He went out in 1807. He baptised his first Christian or Chinese convert in 1814. 7 years he was out there before he baptised his first convert. He was there for many years, only came home once. But by the time of the Cultural Revolution in China, when communism came to control, it is said there were 900,000 Protestants in China. 900,000 Christians, that was the estimate. Then, of course, came communism, and even today China is on the top of the list of countries that persecute any religion, but Christianity in particular. But you know, today it is estimated that there are 111 million Christians in China. That's Christians taking the broadest thought. But it's thought that 90% of them are actually Protestants and saved. Others say that that's a high estimate. Perhaps it's 40 million. But even 40 million, the low estimate, means that there has been a 40-fold increase in those years when they have been persecuted. Others say that 111 million is an underestimate. And there are those that say that by 2050 there will be 218 million Christians in China, making it the land with the greatest Protestant population in the world. That's in the midst of persecution. That's in the midst of that time when they've been cut low and they've had to stay low and have to stay down. God has sent the blessing. God has strengthened them. You know, it is said that there's 70,000 Chinese people being saved every week, 10,000 people a day. God is bringing in a harvest. God has sent rain upon the mown grass. And God is bringing in a harvest of souls. That's what God can do. Oh, how we pray for a harvest in this land. You know what's wrong with us? We have it too easy. We have it too easy. There are many people around us, and they have everything, and they have materialism, and they have everything that their hearts could desire. And when you go out to talk to them about the glories of heaven, well, their thought is, well, I have my own little heaven down here. Thank you very much. But men, women, what will it be to go out into a Christless eternity? What will it be to be lost forever? We need strength as God's people. The Church of God needs strength, and it needs help today of God that we might reach you. We want to reach you. We're praying for you. We're praying that God might bring you to himself. And we want to see you saved today. And oh, that God might come down upon like rain upon the mown grass, and the showers that water the earth, and in the midst of it, that your soul will be blessed, and your soul will be watered with God's salvation. Oh, may we thirst, child of God, for the waters. May we thirst for the blessings of God, in which he will be with us and bless our souls and make us shine out in this world in which we live, that others may see us and they might come to our Savior and find our God. May God write his word upon our hearts for his name's sake. Amen.